Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, hip-hop icon MC Lyte talks exclusively to Upfront about being the spokesperson for Chevrolet's Discover the Unexpected. The music legend was on the campus of Clark Atlanta University this week to help award scholarships to journalism students. Gospel music superstars David and Tamela Mann discuss their new TV One docuseries, The Man, and what fans can expect this season. Award-winning actress and playwright Nnamdi Ikeli chats about her theatrical adaptation of Richard Wright's Native Son that is coming to Marietta's new theater in the square. And Sunday Best Season 6 winner and gospel music songbird Tasha Page Lockhart gets real about overcoming obstacles in her new book, and the winner is. But first, here's this week's casting buzz and entertainment news with Reva Blue.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Fear Factor is now casting teams for an upcoming season. The popular competition series is looking for individuals between the ages of 18 to 26 years who live in Southern California or can be there for 3 consecutive days. The show is encouraging couples, twins, co-workers, exes, fraternity brothers and sorority sisters, and roommates to apply. Show the world that fear is not a factor for you. Check out fearfactor.tv for more information. In other related entertainment news, Emmy-winning actress Regina King is teaming up with award-winning producer John Ridley for an upcoming FX series titled No Place Safe. The drama is based on the Atlanta child murders of the late 70s and early 80s and is inspired by Kim Reed's memoir of the same name. The story is centered on Reed's teenage years as she struggles with becoming a young woman and the senseless murders that are taking place around Atlanta. Reed's mother served as an investigator on the real case. Keep it locked to Upfront to get more details about the project as it continues to develop. And don't forget to check out tonight's season finale of Centrix Being. The docuseries follows the lives of prominent African-American women through their struggles and perseverance and will profile Atlanta songbird India Ari. The show will also include commentary from WCLK's very own Jamal Ahmed. Here's what he had to say about the multi-Grammy winning music star.
You know, Ndi Arie is very unique in the spectrum of modern music because she's an artist that literally created her own way, you know, like she created her own rules. And I actually said something when I was being interviewed on that show, and I said, if Oprah could sing and play guitar, she'd be Ndi Arie. Ndi Arie heals folk with her words, and you don't have a lot of artists in this modern age that do that. She's almost like a throwback, so that's why I love Ndi Arie.
Congratulations, Jamal. We'll definitely be tuned in tonight at 10 p.m. That's this week's Casting Buzz and Entertainment News. I'm Reva Blue.
I swear I feel the spirit every time I look at you. Cause I know that God is moving in my life. Oh, it's a certain type of healing every time you look at me. Lets me know the feeling's neither wrong nor right. It's very evident that you are heaven sent. Very evident. It's very evident that you are heaven sent. Very evident.
You're listening to member-supported Jazz 91.9 WCLK, Atlanta's Jazz Station, and now the home for in-depth arts and entertainment. Now, back to Upfront with your host, Ray Cornelius.
This is a celebration service. We're celebrating his life.
Yes.
Amen.
I'm praying that all dogs go to heaven because Smokey was a good dog.
Yes.
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 He wasn't no regular dog.
He wasn't no regular dog.
He was a hunting poodle.
The first poodle that I knew would hunt.
He was.
Rabbits.
When he was first born, he was a hunching poodle, too.
Yes.
When he first got here?
Nobody could hunch a bear like Smokey could.
What are y'all talking? What is wrong with y'all?
Oh, man.
This is serious. Talk about the seriousness of him that he could find something for us.
Yes. He found rat poison one time.
He found rat poison.
He even came a part of the family.
Yes.
He was big. He became big.
Yes. Smokey was the fattest poodle I know.
He was my first dog.
I know, but we don't want to make it where everybody's
praying. It's a celebration.
celebration.
It's a celebrate.
This is dedicated to Smokey. Kids, come on, help me say it. Smokey. 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 We're gonna miss you. Smokey. Smokey gonna miss you. Smokey. Smokey gonna miss you.
You just heard the hilariously funny clip from David and Tamla Mann's new TV One docuseries, The Manns. The one-hour show airs on Tuesday nights and features the TV and film stars doing what they do best. I caught up with the dynamic duo this week to chat about the show. Tamla also opens up about this year's unforgettable Grammy Awards performance with Chance the Rapper and how The Manns will celebrate the Easter holiday. Well, good morning, David and Tamla Mann. How are you today?
We're good. How are you?
Oh, man, this is a beautiful day. I'm so excited to have you guys on Upfront. We were super excited when we found out that we would be talking with you today. And got to say, first and foremost, congratulations, Tamla, on winning 5 Stellar Awards this year. Artist of the Year, the Albertina Walker Female Vocalist of the Year, Traditional Vocalist of the Year. Are you still on a high?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Yeah. That was amazing, amazing work. A beautiful album and amazing work. So I know that we're kind of limited with time, so I want to jump right into why we're doing this interview. You guys have a brand new show on TV One, a new network, and I'm talking about none other than The Manns. It airs on Tuesday night. And this is a new docuseries, but this isn't new for you guys because you've kind of done this before. So tell our audience a little bit about your show, The Manns.
The Manns is a look into our family, just kind of a behind the curtains, a behind the scenes look at the Manns family. And anybody who follows the Manns know that our family, you can put us in any situation. I don't care what it is. It kind of becomes a, how do I put it? Funny is one thing. But this season, what we do is we really, there's a lot of heartfelt moments. There's a lot of moments that we address issues that people are dealing with, and we just kind of show people how the Manns family deals with these issues. Like one last night, we kind of tackled the issue of weight loss, and that's an issue, just from the feedback on Twitter, that's an issue that a lot of people deal with, but not a lot of people are talking about it.
Now, this time around, you guys are also working with Roger Bob and TV One. So what has that relationship been like? You guys have worked with Roger Bob for a long time, but what has this relationship been like so far with TV One?
It's been really great. I mean, them putting into it and wanting to have more family content, we're excited about it, our whole family. Honestly, I really feel like this is our best season that we've had with the reality show, with the people, the team that we had working together on it, and it's just been really a wonderful adventure so far.
Yeah.
Now, and they're allowing us to make the show that we want to make.
Right.
They just like, hey, be the man. Here you go, be the man.
Now, let me ask you, is there anything that we're going to learn this season that we've not ever known about you guys before? Because sometimes reality shows have a way of bringing out other sides that we may not have known in individuals. So is there anything that we may learn new this season about you guys?
That's a good question.
Yes, it is.
Well, you know what? Now, I'll tell you one thing that I said. I'm not crying. But I found myself thinking, some of those moments, and it's just real-life moments, things that we deal with, that we talk about, that, you just can't help it. You can't help but shed a tear when you talk about, a father dealing with his daughters dating and possibly going on to, have their own family.
Right.
That's those issues that just kind of chokes you up.
Right.
Now, also issues of, like, just making sure your business is taken care of. God forbid if you lose a family member, but you just want to make sure that everything is in line. So it's just, we're just really talking about moments or trying to bring it to the forefront for people to make sure that our business is taken care of, the family, and that we remember that family is all you have. And that, just really just more reminders of that, to take care of each other, to love each other.
Right. I was going to say, was there ever a time that you guys were like, okay, cut the cameras off, stop. we don't want this to be recorded.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
They made me mad. The first episode, they made me mad.
Wow.
But he wanted to face our fears, so he didn't face his fears so good.
No problem with me. It seems like blessings keep falling in my lap.
I get my word from the sermon. I do not talk to the serpent. That's that holistic discernment. Daddy said I'm so determined. So many goofy can't hurt me. I do my mammy so early. I got my telegram early. I might give Satan a swirly.
Now, I have to ask you, Tamla, man, you had an opportunity to perform with Chance the Rapper earlier this year in February during the Grammy Awards. And I thought that was such an awesome moment for you. I think it really, for those that did not know who you were or knew your amazing vocal talents, they really got to see that on that evening. So what was that? How did that collaboration come about?
Well, actually, I got the call. Well, they told me. They held it from me for a while, so I was really shocked once I got the news. But when we went and rehearsed with it, I asked him how it came about myself, and he was like, I mentioned your name. And he was like, everybody was like, yes, let's do it. And I was so excited just for him to think of me. He said I came about from like years ago singing with Kirk Franklin from Now Behold the Lamb. The vocals on that, but the word to sing about our God was like amazing.
Yeah,
to have the opportunity, so it was a wonderful experience for me to be with those young guys, Kirk and with Chance.
Yeah,
it was wonderful.
Yeah. Now, David, let me ask you, because this show and how I feel that this show will sort of play out over the season is that, you know, there are very few positive African-American role models, male role models on television. So do you feel like there's pressure to sort of be, you know, super dad, to be, you know, this amazing husband on TV?
I don't feel pressure like to be super dad, but one thing that I know to be is me. And, you know, I want to show people, and that's what we're talking about with this show. We're not trying to be a perfect family, not trying to be the perfect family. But what we're trying to show people is consistency in how we treat each other and how to handle issues without being ratchet, slapping each other, cursing each other out. And I think when you show people that, you know, we have real issues, but we deal with them in a way that where at the end of the day, you know we love each other, I think people relate to that. And so I'm not trying to be super dad. What I am trying to do is show people that I'm a work in progress, and that they can handle issues the same way.
Okay. Well, Sunday is Easter, or Resurrection Sunday, as I like to call it. So can you guys recall your fondest Easter memory?
Oh, my goodness. Well, we've kind of set a tradition where we always have like a hunt for the grandkids and to just come together. So I'm excited to... I'm trying to figure out something that I'm going to do this year because it looks like it's raining in the forecast.
Okay.
So I'm trying to figure out something to do because one year we had to do an Easter egg hunt. We did a hunt inside the house.
Oh, wow.
Well, we hid eggs in the house. So I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do for the grandbabies because everybody's asking me, are we still doing the hunt this year? And we usually do like a picnic.
Yeah, and it's more about, you know, not, and I know people will be like, what Easter egg got to do with Easter? It's nothing to do with it. It's just the fact that we can get all our grandkids and get the kids from our family and friends together. We have a picnic, and that's just an excuse for us to be together again.
Yeah.
And those are some memories that we're building with our grandkids. And then so now through the years, it's grown. You know, it started out with our eight, and now I think... I can't even tell you how many kids that we have come over. And so it's just really about us building, you know, where people can see, hey, family bonding, family time, and we just get together and just enjoy each other.
But also tell them that it is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and us having him giving his life for us, that we can be free and live eternally. So that's also something that we talk about as well.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel that. Hallelujah.
Well, David and Tamla, man, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule and joining us here on Upfront. Your show, The Man's, airs on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. on TV One, and can't wait to see next week's show.
Well, thank you. And you can also have them follow us at David and Tamla. We're on the family tour, our family tour. So if you hear we're coming to a city near you, make sure you get your ticket. You can follow us at David and Tamla Man.
Yeah, they can go to manstour.com and find out what city we're going to be in. So manstour.com, and it'll give you a list of all the cities that we're going to be in.
All right. Thank you all so much, and many blessings, and happy Easter.
Thank you, Ray.
Have a
good day.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Hey, this is Jasmine Guy, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
Kick this one here for me and my DJ. You can cha-cha-cha to this Mardi Gras. I'm the dopest female that you've heard thus far, and I do get better. The voice gets wetter. Nobody gets hurt
as long as you let her
do my thing with an 89 swing. The dopeness, I write a guaranteed delight to the hip-hop maniac, the uptown brainiac in full effect. MC Light is back.
That was the voice of hip-hop icon MC Light performing one of my favorites, Cha Cha Cha. The Grammy-nominated superstar was at Clark Atlanta University this week to help Chevrolet award 6 scholarships to aspiring journalists through the Discover the Unexpected Fellowship. It's a partnership with Ben Chavis's National Newspaper Publishers Association that is geared towards communication students who aim to report on African-American communities. This is Light's second year as spokesperson, and she talked to us about her commitment to the program, the power of words, and more.
Now, this is your second year as a spokesperson for the Chevrolet Discover the Unexpected. Mm-hmm. What keeps you coming back?
Oh, goodness. It's the complete concept of philanthropy met with the artistry of journalism and storytelling.
Yeah. Now, you've continued to evolve and reinvent yourself. You've had an amazing, iconic music career.
Thank you. So
you've transitioned into voiceover work. You're an actress. You're a public speaker, so let's talk about the importance of reinvention and constantly changing and evolving and developing your brand over the years.
Totally. I think it's all about being open, and a very long time ago I had aspirations of doing many things, and so I wanted to act, I wanted to use my voice, I wanted to write, and in that writing, I wanted to storytell, I wanted to narrate, and things of that nature. And so I think when you're just open and you kind of let the next wave take you to the next wave, take you to the next wave, I've been lucky enough to have a resurgence of many, many things that I had sort of dabbled in the beginning. I've gotten to really flourish within my 30-year career.
Now, I actually got an opportunity to hear you speak. So this is sort of your public speaking.
Mm-hmm.
This was, I believe, it was 2013 for an event that took place. You talked about the power of words and how words can change your future, your career. So talk a little bit about the importance of words.
Oh, goodness. I can't stress them enough. You know, they're just as powerful as thoughts. If not more, especially when you're speaking and someone else is listening. So you want to just be aware of the energy that words carry and choose them very carefully. And so I always say to fill yourself up with the proper words that sort of move you into the space that you're trying to get to. And then in addition to that, be very mindful of what it is that you say to other people. Because words can be extremely impactful, be it positively or negatively.
Thank you, MC Light, for those pearls of wisdom. You can check out pictures from our interview and see this year's AUC Fellows at WCLK.com.
Nobody's fault but mine. Nobody's fault but mine. If I die and my soul be lost, nobody. say I had a mother who could pray. I had a mother who could pray. If I die and my soul be lost, nobody's fault but mine. Yeah.
This is how Bigger was born. These hands hold weapons that are invisible. Make me think somehow I could get free. Free. See, my job should be to fly one of them planes, but it just seemed like they own the world. I mean, why don't white folks let us fly planes and run ships? And why they make us live in one corner of the city? Ooh, I wish someday there would be a black man who could whip us into a tight band, and together we could. So we could make a stand against them. Look, can't you see? This is something big. They can't see us doing something like that. Are you some scared, dumb, mindless rodent letting them decide who you are?
That was a clip from Nnamdi Ekeli's theatrical adaptation of Richard Wright's classic, Native Son. The award-winning actress and playwright is bringing her acclaimed play to Marietta's new Theater in the Square, April 20th through May 7th. Native Son tells the story of 20-year-old Bigger Thomas, a 1930s youth who struggles to find a place for himself in a world whose prejudice has shut him out. After taking a job with a wealthy family, Bigger unleashes a series of events that violently seal his fate. Kelly talked to Upfront about the show and how the Trayvon Martin trial changed the trajectory of her production.
While I was working on an adaptation, Trayvon Martin George Zimmerman was he was on trial, and his acquittal actually changed the direction of my work, because I became so fascinated with this idea that the jurors had actually seen themselves in him and didn't choose to see themselves through the eyes of this young boy. And that troubled me. And I said, I have to, if there's a way to foster more empathy in the world, that's what I want my adaptation to be. I want you to be able to step inside the mind of this young black man and think as he thinks and feel as he feels. And if there's anything good to have come out of that situation with Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman, I would say it's that it gave me the courage to really sort of say what I wanted to say with the work, which is you got to feel as other people feel. You got to be inside it. You have to, you know, you have to take the risk and surrender and feel, you know, empathize.
Right.
Empathize. And so what wound up happening was I threw out the entire play and I started over. and I threw out the last act of the book. The last act of the book is called Fate. And I said, I don't want this anymore. And I tossed it. And I was like, wow, I only have like a sliver of a play. What am I going to do? I'm going to tell the story I want to tell. And it changed my play.
So Nnamdi, you have also worked on adaptations for a couple of other stories. And one in particular that caught my eye was Toni Morrison's Jazz. So let's talk a little bit about that one as well.
Oh, yeah, great. Toni Morrison's Jazz actually is going up in Baltimore at Center Stage. Geez, we start rehearsals a week from, is it Tuesday? We start a week from, we start on April 18th, and we start rehearsals on April 18th. So I'm fast and furiously working and adapting as I talk to you and in meeting. And but it's another project that kind of just somebody brought to me, and they said one of her publishers for plays, they emailed me and they said, we need a resume. And I sent it to them. I forgot about it. And then they called me about a week later and they said, so this author we pitched you to wants to work with you. And the book is Jazz and the author is Toni Morrison. And I think I screamed for about 20 minutes. And then I was like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, who just, I mean, all of a sudden it's like, yeah, you know, we're going to have you work with Toni Morrison. We're doing what?
Yeah, that's how it happened. It's crazy. And so it's been a fast and furious process because it's a very dense novel. It's a very beautiful, poetic novel. And so my task, where Richard Wright is poetic in a very different way, Toni Morrison's poetry really is like the poetry of a soul in a completely different way. And so my task has been, how do you how do you take that internal jazz and make it a play?
You know?
So it's daunting. It's kicking my butt. But we'll see what we got when we start next week. And it opens, it starts previews May 19th, and it opens May 26th, and it closes at the end of June.
Now,
we had a great cast.
I'm sorry, I was going to ask, were you able to work with Miss Morrison at any point during this process?
Not yet, but I suspect that that's going to be happening really soon.
Okay.
It's supposed to have been happening.
So. Yeah.
Everything takes longer than you think, but while we're in rehearsals, I'm expecting that to happen, which is like, what?
Yeah. Well, that is awesome. 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 In addition to the plays, Kelly is also starring on an upcoming episode of NBC's dramatic series, Chicago Justice. She talked about her role on the episode and how it relates to the work she did on Native Son.
I was blessed to book a guest star role in a new show. I mean, the show hadn't aired yet when I booked it. Hadn't hit the air yet.
Right.
And so it was, I play, the good thing and sort of the confusing thing and sort of and how this is all connected to Native Son, too, is because of all the news coming out of Chicago, you know, Dick Wolf has decided to go to Chicago and, you know, tell the story. So now you have Chicago Fire, you have Chicago PD, you have Chicago Justice, and I think there's another one. So all of these shows are being born out of what is still a problem in Chicago, even dating back from 1939.
Right.
So I play a woman whose daughter is, the whole entire episode revolves around me and my husband, and our daughter has been killed in a drive-by. And so it's the whole figuring out who is responsible, who do we bring to trial, you know, when they come to our house and they talk to us. So we shot for 5 days in the fall. Well, I shot 5 days. I think the entire episode shot for 8 days. But we shot in the fall of last year. And, you know, it's a story that needs to be told, and yet it's very painful to tell, you know.
Wow.
And I often question how much of, you know, the storytelling aspect of that in terms of mass media perpetuates these problems. And it's a, you know, I'm not saying don't watch the show. This is something I grapple with as an artist, is, you know, how much of my art is connected to the thing that drives me as a human being, which is, you know, how do we foster empathy? How do we create peace? And so I believe that, well, I won't tell you how the episode ends.
Yeah, don't do that.
There is justice. That's the name of the show. But I hope that people will watch it, even though I said that it troubles me.
Yeah. Well, Nambi, thank you so much for taking time out to talk to the Upfront audience. Again, congratulations not only on Chicago Justice, your appearance, which will be taking place on Sunday, April 23rd, but also your show, your adaptation of Richard Wright's classic book, Native Son, which will be coming to Marietta's New Theater in the Square, April 20th through May 7th. Again, congratulations, and we look forward to the seeing the show.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
No problem.
I'm different, y'all. I'm not the same. Ever since I met the Savior, see, my life has changed. I must admit, back in the day, I did some crazy things. But that's my past. See, my past has not passed away. See, I'm different, y'all. I'm not the same. Ever since I met King Jesus, all my life has changed. I must admit, back in the day, I did some crazy things. But that's my past. See, my past has not passed away. Cause I'm different.
That was the inspirational sound of Sunday Best Season 6 winner, Tasha Page Lockhart. The Detroit-based vocalist is taking her ministry to higher heights with a new book about her life titled, And the Winner Is. The memoir chronicles her rocky rise to stardom and how she was able to overcome drug addiction, child molestation, and homelessness. She also opens up about acting and much more. Well, good morning, Tasha. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
Yeah. This is a pleasure having you here in the studio.
It's a pleasure being here with you.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Good, 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 good. So today we're going to be talking about a whole lot.
Okay.
We have this book, you're acting, there's so much. Many people may know you for your amazing vocals, and you were the season 6 winner of Sunday's Best.
Yes.
But you've added some more things to your resume. Mm-hmm. We've got actress now, we've got Stellar Award winner, mm-hmm. and now we have book author. You have a brand new, sort of a memoir kind of thing going on. It is titled, And the Winner Is, and it's basically a journey of redemption, hope, and faith. It's not a tell-all, mm-hmm. as you alluded to in the intro of the book. This is not a, you know, throwing names out there, that sort of thing. But it's really about your journey and how you were able to get to this place that we know you as right now. Mm-hmm. So let's start from the very beginning. What was the inspiration behind And the Winner Is?
Well, you know, a lot of people have been asking me, well, how was Sunday Best? And how did you win Sunday Best? And where were, you know, a lot of singers and people that want to get involved in the music industry, they will always ask me that. And so I was like, maybe I should write about it. And everybody, you know, on my team was like, well, you should write a book. You should write a book. And I was like, if I write a book, I'm always strategic on why I do things. Like, I don't want to do things just for money. Of course, we want to make money, but I don't want to be driven by that. So ministry is always in the forefront of my mind. So I was like, so if I'm going to do a book, I know I'm going to talk about Sunday Best, but I have to add my story into it or my testimony to make it, you know, about my life and about ministry. And so, And the Winner Is was kind of catchy because it's like, you're going to think it's about Sunday Best, but really it's about winning and overcoming all of these obstacles and trials and things that I went through in my life.
Right.
Yeah.
And there was a lot. I had a chance, an opportunity to read a little bit of the book, mm-hmm. as we talked about before the interview. And it really does talk about how you, basically how you became Tasha mm-hmm. Lockhart, you know, Paige Lockhart. This is your becoming story. And there were so many times, so a lot of stuff that was going on that we didn't know about, the behind the scenes stuff that was going on when you were on stage. Let's talk mm-hmm. a little bit about that, because we were talking about, I knew that there was something going on mm-hmm. and I was, as I was reading it, I was sitting there thinking like, oh my gosh, I do remember those times when she had this blank stare on her face, or when she just sort of looked like she was a little disconnected with what was going on. And it's like, oh my God, you're on national television, mm-hmm. you're winning every week, but there was still this disconnect. So let's talk about the behind the scenes stuff that was, or drama that was going on.
Well, funny story. Some of the times I was actually trying to hide my tattoos. So I'm strategically placing my finger to hide the tattoo that's on my hand, because I'm like, oh, these church folks not gonna vote for me if they see I'm tatted up. Okay, I gotta. But my pastor at the time, Apostle Chris Poole, he passed away the day I left to go film the show, and so he was calling me literally on his sick bed from the hospital, like continually mentoring me and, you know, telling me, you know, well, I was like, you know, I got picked to go on Sunday Best. And he was like, well, if they call you back to go on the show, you're going to win it. And I was like, what? He was like, if you get picked to go on the show, you're going to win the show. Don't worry about it. You're going to win. And so when he died, I'm literally standing there in the room with him. I was the one that they picked to go tell his kids that he had just passed. So I had to go out there, get his children, bring them in. And it was just the whole experience. I left there and had to go get my nails done to go film Sunday Best. Yeah. So I'm crying the whole time. I know the nail tech was like totally weirded out because it was just so, it was a traumatic experience. And so I wasn't in the mind space to compete. When I got there, I put myself in a prayer revival. I was praying every 3 hours. I set an alarm on my phone. That was the only way I could keep my sanity of being there. To, you know, be focused on the contest and singing and trying to do my best, because I was grieving. I was a mess. We were homeless. We had found black mold in our apartment. We were living in a hotel. You know, my husband was attacked at gunpoint by my oldest son's father. I'm going through all of this while millions of people are watching me. I wake up in the morning and I have thousands of followers instantly. And I'm like, I can't even celebrate in these moments because I'm too worried about how my life is really ruined.
Yeah.
Almost. You know what I'm saying? So it was a lot going on.
And how were you able to, because that, you know, that's got to be difficult. You're on national television every week. You're winning.
Mm-hmm.
In people's minds, you're a winner.
Right.
You know, but at the same time, like you said, or as I read in the book, you would leave and you would cry because you knew that you were going back to a crazy situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like you said, it was like one thing after another, the attack on your husband, the black mold, and then getting the house where it was actually a grow house.
I'm like, I walk in the house, you know, I used to smoke weed. I mean, I was a weed smoker. I'm talking about I didn't need a light to roll up. I could roll up in the dark. You know, I didn't need none of that. I had weed on the side of my bed first thing in the morning before I go to bed all day long.
Yeah.
Like blunt after blunt after blunt. And so to get this house after we had been homeless, and then we get there, and then they were growing weed in the basement. So, and this is the day that BET was coming to do our home package. So I'm like, oh, you guys can't come in. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
It was just crazy. You know, we were excited to have the house. But I'm like, okay, how do I explain this to this network? And then how do I explain this to my children? Because they're like, Mom, what's that smell? It was just weird.
Very
it was
awkward.
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. One of the things I wanted to ask you is, because you hear this a lot, that when people are writing books or projects that you tend to learn new things about yourself. Mm-hmm. What did you learn new about yourself through this process?
I really wasn't over, that I hadn't gotten over some of the things that I was writing about. You know, that's why it took me 3 years. You know, I was trying to process a lot of things, and it was strategically the way that God kind of set it up was one of my abusers. I was molested by my dad's best friend, one of my abusers. He contacted me randomly on Facebook.
Right.
And somebody that I knew contacted me on Facebook and said, a guy came over to my house to set up my cable, right? And he had a picture of you in his back pocket. Now, at this point, this was like 2 years ago. So I'm 34 now. I was 32 years old. This happened when I was 9 years old. You're walking around with a picture of me in your pocket.
Wow.
I was weirded. I mean, I literally like shut down. I was crying. I was in my house like for like days and would not get out of the bed because they took me back to that 9-year-old girl. And I was like, why are you still holding me hostage to this? And so that's when I really was like, I have to get this book done. I have to continue to tell this story, and I have to process this because I can never allow myself to get back to this place ever again.
Yeah.
And so then he randomly contacts me because I started making like posts and saying different things about it. Like I never said his name, but then he randomly reached out to me on Facebook and denied everything, was acting like oblivious to it and as if it never happened. And so at that point I had to make a decision. Am I going to be stuck in this place? Am I going to allow this person to hold me hostage to this and not be able to move forward and let this haunt me my entire life? Or am I going to just forgive him, even though he's denying it? Go ahead, forgive him and just try to move on with my life. Like, and that's what I chose to do.
Yeah. Now, during this writing process, you were also working on songs and, mm-hmm. and albums and music. So did some of that sort of translate into some of the music that you put out?
Yeah, definitely. As a songwriter, you know, I try to incorporate my story into my songs. It makes it believable and people can connect. Nowadays, people want to be able to connect with your story. They want to like you. They want to know that, you know, I go places and they're like, girl, we best friends. And it's my first time meeting you. But because of social media and all of that kind of stuff, people want to connect with the person. When they connect with the person, they'll buy whatever you put out.
Wow.
So, but it was difficult. Trying to make music, trying to write, trying to do all of the things that I do. You know, a mother of two, a wife, I'm involved in my parents' church. So trying to do all of that played a part in why it took so long for me to actually write the book.
Right. Now, lately you've been flexing your acting muscles.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to ask you, are there any plans to turn this book into a play or a made-for-television movie?
I've been approached by two people about doing like a documentary about my life, or maybe like a Lifetime type of movie.
Right.
I'm not sure if I want to do it just right now. I feel like, you know, I'm only 34. So I feel like it's so early because I have so many other things that I want to accomplish and do. So I don't want to cap myself off right here and be like, okay, I'm going to do a movie about my life. But I'm so young and I want to do so much more. So we're talking about it. I don't know what's going to happen.
Okay. And Sunday is Easter, or Resurrection yes. Sunday, as I like to call it. So what is your fondest Easter memory?
I think when I was in, maybe fourth or fifth grade, we would have concerts at our school. And my mom came to my school and did a concert at my elementary school. And this is when I realized that my mom was kind of a big deal. I was like, why are these people going crazy and wanting to take pictures with you? Like, who are you? And so I started to look at her in a different way. I just remember that was right around Easter time. And it was just amazing to me to see how people reacted to this lady that I'm around all the time. And it's like, you know, she's normal to me. But then that's when I kind of figured out she was a big deal.
Yeah. Now, what is the overall takeaway message that you want fans or even people that don't know you but may come across the book? Because I saw when you, and you had me cracking up when you put at the very beginning of the book, thank you if you purchased the book or if you borrowed the book, thank you. So what is the takeaway message for those that may have purchased or borrowed the book?
Takeaway message is that as long as you have breath in your body, you have an opportunity. An opportunity to make a decision, an opportunity to change, an opportunity to get better, an opportunity to apologize, an opportunity to love, to forgive. Whatever that opportunity that you need to take advantage of is, you have that because you're still alive. So take that opportunity to do something today. Don't wait. Whatever it is you can do today, set attainable goals for yourself. I tell people that all the time. I'm a life coach as well. So, you know, what can you do today? What can you do within the week? What can you do within the month? What can you do within the year? Like, set attainable goals. You know, oh, I want to be a millionaire and open up a restaurant. That's not attainable right now. That's something that you can do in the near future. But what is it that you can do today? And it's a lot of things that we can do today that won't cost us any money. Just do it. Make a decision. So that's what I want you to take away from the book. Look at my life as a testimony that you don't have to go through those things because I went through them for you. So now you have valuable information that you can use, apply to your life, and now share it with someone else.
All right. Well, that is the gospel according to Tasha Page Lockhart. It is all coming from her new book, And the Winner Is, which is available on Amazon as well as on your website, correct?
It's not available on my website yet. We're working on a new website.
Okay.
But it's available on Amazon.com. It's available on BarnesandNoble.com. You can get it from your phone if you have iBooks, if, iPhone, or if you have an Android. It's on. You can get it on Kindle and Google Play and all of that.
All right. Well, thank you so very much. And
thank you.
Best of luck to you in the future.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you so much for listening to today's show. I'd really like to thank my guests, MC Light, David and Tamala Mann, Nambi E. Kelly, and Tasha Page Lockhart. I would also like to thank my engineer, Mark Angel, and you. Upfront will be taking a break next Saturday, April 22nd, but please join us the following Saturday, April 29th at 9 a.m. We'll have some exciting new one-on-one interviews with your favorite stars. We'd also like to close out today's show by recognizing the passing of comedian and actor Charlie Murphy. We'll leave you with this clip from Spike Lee's Mo Better Blues that features the late comedic actor along with Lee and Steve White. Happy Saturday, Atlanta.
That so you talking on Mo and Josh.
Oh, and we two black men can't have a smart thought? Man.
No, because both of you is stupid.
Why is it always gotta be the white man?
Stupid.
Black man is God.
Or not. I'm sick and tired of your 5% of malarkey.
It's malarkey. It's not 5%.
It's malarkey.
It's 5%, God.
5% of what,
born? 5% of the population that knows what's going on. The true gods of this planet. The original Asiatic black man from Africa with knowledge of self. Sent here to teach y'all the 85% that you are indeed dumb, deaf, and blind. And that you're being exploited by the devilish 10%. It don't cut my wisdom, God.
Acknowledge it.
Why acknowledge it, man? Don't cut my wisdom.
People should have been here a long time ago.
Don't be looking at your Timex, boy. The people get in when I want to get in.
And when is that? When is that?
Whoa, 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 whoa. Time is when, God. Lounge.
The both of you used to kiss my narrow black butt 2 times. Twice.
Oh, really? Kiss your narrow black butt 2 times, huh? How about if I just kick you in your flat back once and watch you grow a butt, sucker?
Relax, man.
Who told you got a butt anyway? You ain't got no butt. You just got 2 legs sticking out your shoulder.
Lounge, huh? Yo, yo, go in peace, like my boy, brother. Man. Go in peace. One day
you'll
be right.
You look like a Slim Jim with a suit on, man.
Lounge,
sucker.
Man. We got people here, man.
If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.